Vedanta Swami, Srila Prabhupada, who kindly opened my eyes with a torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. So this evening I'd like to speak about one of my favorite verses from the Brahma Samhita. Brahma Samhita is a work spoken, not written, spoken by Lord Brahma, and it is composed of many chapters, of which we only have the fifth chapter. And this verse is actually one of the most fun verses for me. It may not seem fun when I first talk about it, but I'll explain why it's fun. And the verse goes, Advaita Chuta Anadirananta Rupamajam Purana Purusham Nabiyoganam Cha Vedushu Durlava Maha Durlava Matma Bhakto Govindam Adipurusham Tamaham Vajami. Oh, everybody has their iPhones? So... what the verse literally says, Advaita, that means literally without duality or non-dual. It's interesting. The word also means, Advaita means someone who's truthful. It's really interesting. Did you know that? Advaita means someone who's truthful. Dvaita means someone who's two-faced. There's an interesting story about that. One time, Mother Sachi, I'm diverting from the topic, but I'll do it anyway, because it's fun. So Mother Sati, who was Lord Chaitanya's mother, was very upset with Advaitacharya because Advaitacharya, she thought, had convinced her son Viswarup to take sannyas. Because Viswarup was the older brother of Lord Chaitanya, and he was always staying and going to Advaitacharya's house. Another iPhone. It's interesting, you can open a shop here, so I got one in my pocket that I'm recording with too. So he was always going to Advaitacharya's house for Krishna Katha, and even when he went home, and it was just for a few moments to take prasad. So when Viswarup heard that his mother was arranging his marriage, he was listening through the door, or through the window, or however he was listening, he ran away in the middle of the night. And Mother Sachi blamed Advaitacharya, another one. We'll be selling these later on after the quest. So, Mother Sachi blamed Advaitacharya for her son taking sannyas. Then later on, little Nimai is Lord Chaitanya's name when he was a little baby, because he was born under a nim tree, and that's considered very pure. So little Nimai was also going to Advaitacharya's house to hear about Krishna. And Mother Sachi, she was very much in anxiety. So she got really angry at Advaitacharya and said, this is the whole point why I'm saying this. She said, he is not Advaita, he is Dvaita. In other words, he's two-faced, he's a liar, he's a cheater. And because Mother Sachi said that, guess what? This is actually an important point. It has nothing to do with the class, but it's another important point. That she said, because she committed that offense, Lord Chaitanya said she would not get love of God. Can you imagine? She's the mother of God. You think, she should love God, or pure love of God. But Lord Chaitanya said, no, because you've committed an offense against the devotee. Can you imagine how strict that is, when dealing with devotees? Of course, we chant every morning, Badanvi Savadana Mate. Savadan means caution. Like in India, you see the road signs, they say Savadan, means caution, but they take it as meaning go faster. They take that's the way things go in India. You take the opposite meaning of things. Or red light means go. Being to stop. So then she, of course, took shelter at Advaitacharya's feet, and she got forgiven, and she got love of God. So therefore, Advaitacharya was called Dvaita, which means someone who is dual, or two-faced, or not truthful, or a cheater. That's, if you want to call someone a cheater, you call them Dvaita. So getting back to the verse, without analyzing it any further. Advaita. So Advaita means someone who is one, not two. So this is in reference to Krishna, of course. Because many times, you see, we had this discussion a little earlier, something related. Many times you see that people get bewildered by seeing all of Krishna's incarnations. I mean, a lot of incarnations he has. They're like waves of the ocean. That's how many incarnations. And did you know that Krishna incarnates in every species of life? Not only the ones we read about. I mean, Krishna must even have like a little ant incarnation, a cockroach incarnation, a tiger incarnation, a snake incarnation. That's Sesha, of course. I mean, that one we know about. An elephant incarnation. Wow. So if you see a little ant wearing a peacock feather, just be careful. It may be God. And a crown, too, like an ant. So it's always the same person. And I'll explain that more as I get into this description. Hopefully I don't go too long, because it's one of my favorite verses. And then the next word is achyuta. Achyuta is a very interesting word, too, because that means infallible. That has nothing to do with standing on a building or at an airplane and not falling down. That really means that when Krishna comes down to this world, he doesn't come under the influence of the modes of nature. We, in the Gita, Krishna says there are two classes of living entities, the fallible and the infallible. So guess what class we are? We're fallible. So if we're not careful, guess what? We can become influenced by the modes of nature and fall away from our spiritual path. So achyuta. Anadya is another important word. That means without a beginning. He's without a beginning. In other words, sarvakarna karnam, he's the cause of all causes. Nothing caused him. I mean, I get this question from atheists all the time. They say, if God is there, how did he get there? You know, in the material world, because it's the world of cause and effect, you have the barrage, the causal ocean. You can always ask the question, everything has a cause. How did you get here? By car. You know, where were you before? Yeah. You know, did you have a mother? Yes. What was her name? Yeah. You know, there's always a cause for everything that happens in this world. You can trace it back. It's cause and effect. But Krishna is without cause, without beginning, anadya. And then Adir Govinda, he is the cause of everything. That's pretty interesting. Advaita Chutir, Anadir Ananta. And then he's unlimited. And he's unlimited not only that he's big, but he's unlimited because he's also smaller than the small, which is kind of interesting. I mean, how can... That's really beyond our understanding, how someone could be very big, so all the universes fit within him, and simultaneously, he can run inside an atom. Take a jog, as they say. Inside an atom. I mean, it's amazing. Isn't it? I mean, Ananta, that's really unlimited. And he has unlimited intelligence, unlimited beauty. There's many ideas we can get from this word Ananta, isn't it? Ananta, and also Ananta also refers to Rupam. Rupam, Ananta Rupam. It can be taken by itself, or it can be taken as modifying Rupam. In this person, isn't it? Dvaita Chautra Ananta Rupam, which means he has unlimited forms, which I've already talked about. But each and every one of these forms that Krishna has are none different from him. Ajopi san avyatmam bhutanam micharopi san pratikim swam adishtaya sambhavami apamaya. Krishna says, when I come to this world, I come in the same form. No matter what I look like, it's the same body. Krishna's not different. There's that concept of Advaita again. Krishna is non-dual. So he's the same as his body. So why do we see Krishna appear in so many different ways when he comes? Because he's an expert dramatist. I don't know if any of you have seen Bollywood movies. Probably not. So I know you don't watch TV or see movies. So. You're all just like pure devotees. You know, just chant Hare Krishna. I mean, you don't know who Vivek Oberoi is, or... Yeah. He's a Krishna devotee. He's my friend. That's why I mentioned his name. I wouldn't mention any rascal's name. So, But then you see this person, let's say Viveko, I don't want to mention Salman Khan. He's in the anime. So you have someone like them, but in each and every movie they're playing a different part, right? It's not the same part, unless it's a series, of course. But it's usually a different part they're playing. You know, in one, I know in one movie, I haven't seen these movies. In English subtitles. But anyway, in one movie, he's playing a demon. You know, some robber or something like that. And the next movie, he's playing like a very saintly person. So, they switch, which is really interesting. You know, if he played the same part in every movie, he wouldn't be such an interesting character. But he has all these different parts. And it's the same person. He just puts on a different costume, little makeup, you know, a mustache. When I was visiting him, he had a mustache on. And he said, I told him he should shave it off. And he said, the girls really like it. He was going like this. It was really funny. He was in front of all the paparazzis. He was going, twirling around to impress the girls. So, of course, that's a dramatic performer, but Krishna is the original dramatic performer. Krishna has so many roles, unlimited roles, Ananta Rupam. And he's also Ajamparana. He's the oldest, but he doesn't look very old. Krishna always appears as a young, youthful, whatever incarnation he is, and he might have an old incarnation somewhere. But if he's a tortoise, he's a young tortoise. A young boar, a young fish. You don't find him in an old fish getting ready to die with arthritis. You know, you find Krishna. Krishna's Navayovanam cha, right? Ajam Purana from Navayovanam cha. So he's always youthful. Even when Krishna in his original form, of course. This is very important to understand. Ete Chansa Kalakumsa, Krishna's two Bhagavan Swayam. All the incarnations expand from Krishna. Although they're the same person, that's Krishna at home. It's the person at home. And when Krishna puts on a costume, then he's the fish or whatever. So, then he's always youthful. When Krishna was on this planet in his original aspect 5,000 years ago, he never looked more than 16 years of age. Even when he was fighting in the Battle of Kurukshetra, that was like 125 years after he appeared. And he looked like a fresh youth throughout his whole manifest pastimes. Pretty amazing, isn't it? No influence of time at all, because he had a transcendental body. Puran, Prasham, Navyoganamja, Vedeshu, Durlabham, Adurlabham. But the problem is, by reading the Vedas, you won't understand it. That may come as a shock. Or very difficult. Vedeshu Durlabham. That means very difficult to understand Krishna just by reading the Vedas. Why is it difficult? I'll give you a lot of explanations why it's difficult. One is Trigunya Vishaya Veda needs Trigunya Bhavarjana. That most of the Vedas are made for the materialistic people. You know, people who want, like, it's called Karma Kanja. You've all heard of Karma Kanja before? Material advancement. Most of the Vedic literatures are trigunya, meant for those in the modes of nature who want a bigger house, who want to go to Swarga, who want to, like right now it's Pitrapaksh, right? Who want, you know, want to get some benefit from their forefathers who passed away. Most people are like that. So most of the Vedas are for people like that. Now the reason they're for people like that is at least it restricts them a little bit. Like there's even Vedic literatures that tell you when you can eat meat or how to eat meat. And what they say, this particular injunction, is that if you really want to eat a goat, you know, you're really enthusiastic, you like to eat goats, somehow or other, you think it's nice even though the goat eats all sorts of garbage. You understand? If you eat something that eats garbage, you become garbage. But that's another subject matter. So if you're really interested in eating goats, then you worship the goddess Kali. And once a month, you whisper into the goat's ear, Mamsa Khadati. That means, Mamsa means you will eat me, basically. In the next life, the word for me is interesting in Sanskrit. It means you will eat me. If you analyze that word linguistically, you will eat me. So the word for meat has within it the karmic understanding of what happens when you eat meat. You will eat me. So I will eat you, you will eat me. Next life we'll switch again. We'll start eating each other one life after another. So you probably met your dinner before. You probably were your dinner in your last life. So Mamsakarati. So there's a Vedic literature that tells you how to do that. You whisper once a month, whether it's on the full moon or something like that, Mamsakarati, and then that's for people who are addicted. That's the way to do it if you're super addicted to eating meat. If you do it the other way, you're going to get in trouble. So it's restriction. Like the government puts restriction, hopefully, on people drinking, right? What's the drinking age here?
18.
In Fiji, they want to raise it to 24. That's a good idea. If it was up to me, I'd raise it to 99. But if you do that, people are going to start producing liquor in their own homes, so it's not practical. Homebrew, yeah. So the Vedas mainly are for restricting people. All right, you want to act like a hog, dog, camel, or an ass. So we'll give you a Vedic way to act like a hog, dog, camel, or an ass. What does that mean? Hog, dog, camel, or an ass is not an insult, sorry. It means eating, sleeping, mating, defending. We'll give you a Vedic way to do it. Instead of, you know, just being an all-out pig. It's better to do things Vedically. You know, there has to be some restriction. Otherwise people are animals. So most of the Vedas are for that. So if you read the Vedas, you won't really come to the understanding of what you should do or what the goal of life is or who God is. Because the Vedas are so variegated. You have the Rig Veda, Sama Veda, Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda. And even though the Rig Veda does tell you to worship Vishnu, it says Om Tad Vishnu Paramam Pada Pashanti Yat Surya, still you won't even notice that part. You'll just look at all the other parts. And of course, in the Mahabharata, the same thing is stated. Tarko Pratishta Shutinan Avina. That's a famous statement in the Mahabharata. That one can understand the truth simply by argumentation, tarko pratishta, shruti na, nor by reading the Vedas. So it's very, very, Vedeshu durlabham. But then, of course, the Mahabharata gives a method to understand the absolute truth, and the final line of that verse is what in the Mahabharata? Does anyone know that verse? Tarko pratishta, shruti na, navina? No. Mahajaniyena gata sapanta. That the only way to understand the absolute truth is to follow in the footsteps of Mahajanas, or great personalities, or Mahatseva Mahura Vimuktes, to serve Mahatmas, or great personalities. So getting back to the verse in the Brahma Samhita, Vedeshu Durlabham, and then Adurlabham. It is the same thing. It is very easy, Atma Bhakto, for someone who is a devotee of Krishna to understand. In other words, to understand properly, you have to love Krishna. And when you love Krishna, and this is what I wanted to talk about, then you really love everything Krishna does in all these various incarnations. Like most people approach God not out of love. They approach Him out of duty or fear, right? Some of you are worried if you don't worship the demigods during Devapaksha, then everything's going to go wrong in life. You ever hear that fear? Yeah, this is a common thing. Oh, if I don't do it, God will... Like when I was young, my mother would tell me to get me to do something. She said, God's going to punish you for talking back to me. Did you ever hear stuff like that? I'm sure you've heard that. Krishna or God will punish you. So that's out of fear. So out of fear or greed, people worship God. That's not love. That's not really love. Love is to worship God because you just love Him. I mean, it's because of His qualities. Like Prabhupada once said in a very interesting phrase, he said, we love Krishna whether or not He's God. And I want to explain what Prabhupada meant by that. That he was basically, it's not that he had some doubt that Krishna was God. He was saying that actually we are not interested in Krishna because he's God. We're interested in Krishna because of he's Krishna. Now, let me explain what that means. Because people are interested in God because he's God, that's business. Like if you were interested, let's say if Bill Gates came in here. You know Bill Gates? And most of us would not be interested in him as a person. I think most of us would be interested in him because, what? Yeah, he's super rich. You know, I have a temple that I need to build in Fiji. I have a school I need to build in Vrindavan. And so, you know, I become his best friend. I just jump off this podium like anything. I just right to the door. I'd be the first one to greet him. Oh, Bill, you know, I've been waiting for you, buddy. But I wouldn't care about, I mean, I'm just joking. But I, you know, someone wouldn't care about him. You just care of what he has, his money. In the same way, people worship God for not who he is in terms of, you know, like his personality, his activities, or anything like that. They worship him because of his power, position, what he can do for them, or how he can protect them, or what he can give to them, etc., like that. So that's not love. Real love is described by Rupa Goswami as Anyabi Lashita Shunyam Jnana Karma Anavatam Anukulyena Krishnana Shilanam Bhakti Rutama. That free of any personal motivation, positive, negative, liberation, anything. Just real love means you just love the person because he's lovable. So Krishna is so lovable, and this is in reference to this verse I just quoted from the Brahma Samhita. Krishna is so lovable, and he does so many interesting things. I was thinking about that. Can you find a more interesting God? I mean, go through your religions. I'm not criticizing any religion. I guess I shouldn't go through the religions. But you take any of the Western religions, I won't mention them. But can you think of reading about God and thinking, this is really cool, this is really nice, he's really tricky, he's really mischievous, he's really fun? I mean, would you say that about any other God, that he's fun? In any religion? Think about it. I mean, let's take the Christian religion, because at least the Christians won't burn me. But, and you know, you have Jehovah, you know, our God who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, which is nice. Nice statement. Thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, give us this day our daily bread. Which is interesting. You know, if we were to translate that into Krishna consciousness, give us this day our daily roti. Instead of daily bread. So, but, you know, is he so interesting? And how do you love him? I mean, it's really hard to love someone when you don't know anything about him. You know, people talk about love of God. So, with Krishna, not only does he do his pastimes in Vrindavan, which are so lovable, I mean, this incredibly lovable, but all these incarnations that are described in this verse that I quoted, Advaita Chuta Nadi Renanta Rupam, if you think about it, you know, Krishna appears, well, let's talk about the story of the churning of the milk ocean, for example, because there's several incarnations that are related to that particular pastime. Okay, so once upon a time, the demigods and the demons had a truce. And truce means they decided to work together for some common purpose. And that common purpose was to get the amrit, or the nectar of immortality. It didn't make them immortal, let's say forever and ever and ever, but long life. You know, long as Lord Brahma's day would consist. So they thought the only way to get it, and this is actually Krishna told them to do it, which is interesting. Krishna's so tricky. The demigods first went to Vishnu, and they said, we have a problem with these demons. Why? Because the demons have this mrityu sanjivani that has been given by their spiritual master, Shukracharya, because they can be brought back to life when we kill them. So it's kind of hard to fight with people who can be brought back to life, isn't it? Imagine you had a battle, you shoot your enemy, and their general pours some water on him, okay, gets up again. I think it's kind of frustrating. So the demigods got frustrated, went to Lord Vishnu when they get frustrated, The demigods are generally Sakama devotees, so they usually go to Lord Vishnu when things go bad. When things go well, we don't need him so much. They forget him. And that's the difference between a Nishkam devotee and a Sakam devotee. Sakam devotee always goes, never goes to Vishnu except when there's something he needs or trouble. So they went, and Vishnu said, all right, churn the milk ocean, and nectar will come from it. Okay. So they went to the demons, and they said, we'll churn the milk ocean. And the demons finally agreed after some time. They thought it's a good idea, because they had a whole plan to steal the nectar afterwards. And so they got this serpent, Vasuki, who had bad breath, of course. So serpents usually do. And the demons actually got the head. They thought they were better, so they got the head, and they got to smell the breath and practically pass out as they were churning the milk ocean. That was like real fiery breath. Serpents are definitely not the best of creatures to have at home. And so they were churning the milk ocean, and then several things came out. I mean, there were a whole bunch of things. The Uchaya Shrava, the poison came out that Lord Shiva drank. So many things. But they couldn't even churn without Krishna incarnating a few more times. Because the mountain, Mount Mandara, kept sinking down. So Krishna had to appear as a tortoise incarnation. And not only were they using him to churn, but Krishna was using them to polish his ornaments and scratch his back. Krishna's so funny like that. That he engages people in his service, even though they don't want to be engaged in his service. Back scratcher, So he had a back scratcher. And Krishna's a tortoise. I mean, imagine. God is a tortoise? Pretty interesting. But the point is, if God doesn't do these things, he wouldn't be God. If you say, that's impossible, God's not going to do something like that. God does everything. He has fun. You want God just to sit peacefully and be quiet. That's your philosophy. Just behave yourself, God. You want God to be like your wife and just make rotis. Isn't it? Every man wants a wife who just like sit in the kitchen all day long, make rotis, and if some of them are not completely round, you can just throw them back at her. And she has to do them over again. But so people want God like that. His business is to serve us rather than our business to serve him. So Krishna is engaging them in serving him, and he's sitting in the bottom of the ocean, and they're polishing his gems and scratching his back. And then the mountain also had some trouble, kept tipping over, so Krishna had to get on the top, as Vishnu's expansion, and hold the thing while it was going. So they were churning. And then what happened is, eventually the nectar came out after the poison, and the demons, as was predicted, stole the nectar. And the demigods were completely upset, because the demigods were lucky, because the demons were fighting over the nectar. They said, let's divide it honestly. It's like a thief. You understand that the thieves steal something from a bank. Recently we had a robbery in Fiji. In the bank. Fiji robberies are so interesting. They backed the van into the bank. Has anyone heard about this before?
No.
They backed the van right in the bank, right into the teller's cage. It's almost like a movie, some old movie. Like some Charlie Chaplin movie or something like that. Fiji. So the thieves say, let's divide it honestly. So the demons were actually arguing in the same way. Let's divide up this nectar honestly. No one took it because they were fighting each other, which is good. So the point is that sometimes we don't need to fight people who are demoniac. They destroy themselves. And sometimes devotees ask, should we have weapons? No. People will destroy themselves. They're not Krishna conscious. Maya will take care of them. So then the demigods went to Vishnu again and said, what should we do? And then Vishnu said, I'll take care of it. Don't worry. And then Lord Vishnu assumed the form of Mohini Murti. And Mohini Murti walks up to the demons and says, hi, boys. and they were just completely thunderstruck. Even though they had nectar of immortality. Can you imagine sacrificing immortality just because some pretty girl comes up to you? I mean, that's pretty stupid. You know, they could have, you know, free from disease, old age, everything like that. She just walks up and hi, boys. And I said, wow. And basically, they were discussing how to divide the nectar. And she said, you know, do you trust me? And they said, yes, we trust you to divide the nectar. And she said, you really can't trust me. And they said, oh, that's so cute what you're saying. They were so bewildered, they thought her good advice was actually just being cute. And then so she took the nectar from the demons and gave it to the demigods. And distributed it to the demigods. Because one of the demons caught the trick, and that was Rahu. And Rahu got his head cut off. And when the interesting thing is, when the demons discovered it was Lord Vishnu, because when the Sutta Sanchakra came out, it was obvious it was Lord Vishnu. It wasn't some pretty little girl from down the street. It was Lord Vishnu. So that they just, what did they say? Oh, they tricked us again. So you see that it's interesting how tricky God is too. And later on, and Shukracharya is really fried. I mean, really upset with the whole thing. And later on, the Lord appears, this is many, many years later, as Vamanadeva and tricks again. So you have Krishna not only doing all these amazing things in the amazing forms as dwarf Brahman, as a fish, as a lady, a beautiful lady, but he's being very tricky at the same time. I mean, can you find a story so interesting as these pastimes of Krishna, these incarnations of Krishna, Krishna and Vrindavan? And it's all the same person. Remember that. That's important to remember. Like Jayadev Goswami, who was a great devotee of the Lord, he wrote this shloka called the Dasha Avatar shloka, which is contained in a book called the Gita Govinda. Gita Govinda details generally the pastimes of Krishna and Vrindavan, very intimate pastimes. But this is a very wonderful part of the Gita Govinda, in which he describes what Keshavadrita Narahari Rupa, Keshavadrita Shukara Rupa, Keshavadrita Rama Shavira, Keshavadrita Haladara Rupa. O Lord Keshava, it's the same thing as the verse of the Brahma Samhita. O Lord Keshava, that's Krishna. Keshava means Krishna with long black hair. You've assumed the form of a boar, you've assumed the form of a tortoise, you've assumed the form of half man, half lion. You've assumed the form of Balaram, all these different wonderful incarnations. Nara Hari Rupa, Jaya Jagadisha Hari. So, basic point I want to make is we're very fortunate to be given this information. And the reason we can understand it is not because we research the Vedas, as I said before. It's by the mercy of His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. We've been given the highest knowledge. That doesn't mean we're the highest. Sometimes people think like that. Because I have the highest knowledge, I'm great, I'm wonderful. Pride goes before the fall. But we should always be grateful to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, and read his books. They're full of this nectar. I mean, I've just mentioned a few details of a few pastimes here. But there's so much nectar within Srila Prabhupada's book, nectar meaning amrit. And that's the nectar of immortality. You read it, and that, you'll become eternal. And you'll go back to home, back to God after this lifetime. So, any questions or comments? Because we have to leave in a few minutes. Just want to make it a little interesting. Yes? Kalki is an incarnation too. Kalki appears at the end of the Kali Yuga. And those of us who are still around, we'll get a chance to have his darshan. But we won't look the same, because at the end of Kali Yuga, people are very short, like about this tall. And there's no vegetables, no mangoes. Don't worry. It's in about 430,000 years. So you don't have to worry about that. But those of us who don't make it back to God, by that time we'll get a chance to see him. People will be eating other people. It'll be like Fiji was before the British came. The whole world will be cannibal world. And people will be living underground. I mean, there's so many descriptions there. Bad weather practically everywhere. I mean, it's not going to happen in 2012. You know, despite what everyone's saying, isn't it? Oh, 2012, December, it's coming. Every year. Yeah, 18. I remember the Y2K, nothing happened. Everyone was waiting for the end of the world. So don't worry, it's in a long time from now. Kalki will come riding on a horse and take care of everybody. And then that will usher in the next stage, the Satya Yuga, which comes after the Kali Yuga. So yes, he's one of the incarnations mentioned. And if you go to South India, you will see these incarnations generally depicted on in different carvings on the temples. I don't know if anyone's here been like to Tirupati, Sri Rangam, these other temples. It's very beautiful how they depict the different incarnations of Krishna. So, but we understand they're the same person. It's Krishna doing all these fun things. It's not that we become other types of devotees. Let's say, oh, you're just a Ramakta, you're just a whatever bhakta, you're just a Matsya bhakta. Because we see the same person doing these things. So as Krishna bhaktas, we love Lord Ram. Because that's Krishna. It's not that you think, I'm not going to listen about Lord Ram because that's for my, you know, I'm a Krishna bhakta. Or I'm not going to listen about Krishna because that's, I'm a Ram bhakta. But they're all the same person. And if you love someone, you love whatever they do. You won't discriminate and say, well, I like Krishna when he does that, but other times it really is not so nice. Then you're not a devotee. But you see Krishna acting in that way, just like you see the dramatic actor in the Bollywood films putting on a different costume. Krishna's acting as a boar. It's the same Krishna acting as a boar, as a half man, half lion. It's really wonderful. Okay, any other questions or comments? Otherwise, we have RT, right? Is it time? And then I have to run to another engagement right now. Okay, thank you very much. All glories to the divine grace of the Prabhupada, to the Prabhupada, Ki Jai.